an old story now, of a very old profession, of the oldest economic dynamic in the books, supply and demand, but some very new faces in this story. Every year, thousands of women are smuggled from Mexico into the United States and forced to become sex workers. A journey from a town in Mexico where there is a lot of supply, generations of women who have been enslaved by the sex trade, to, in this case, Queens, New York, where there is a high demand for sex workers. Laura Trevelyan followed this route. She's a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, and joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, John.
So you began in a specific town, and you ended up in a specific town, this one here. What was the town that you began in, and why did you choose it?
Well, I began in a small town in rural Mexico called Tenancingo, and I went there because people who work against sex trafficking here in New York had told me, you won't believe it. This place, Tenancingo, is where about 1,000 sex traffickers live, and they bring women here to New York. And that seems so extraordinary that I had to go and see for myself. And this small, dusty town of 10,000 people has shacks in it. It's pretty poor. But then you see these enormous, ostentatious mansions, which are green and purple, and they have these vast turrets. They have sculptures of swans. And the locals actually call these houses Calquilchil, or the Houses of Ass, because that's where the sex traffickers and their families live.
Well, nobody struck oil in Tenancingo. This is the wealth from the sex trade. And here's what agents from Homeland Security are saying about Tenancingo.
To me, when I hear the word Tenancingo, I think of young women who are naive, who unfortunately haven't had too much education, and who are lured into these romantic relationships by sex traffickers who are very manipulative, who've been doing this for years, who know exactly how to emotionally take control of this woman.
Now, she's an agent for U.S. Homeland Security. How did you encounter her?
Well, that's Tanaz Dubash. She's actually the victim support specialist for Homeland Security investigations here in New York. And she told me that 85% of the women she sees here in the city have been trafficked by men from Tenancingo. This town is just extraordinary. Entire families are involved in this very elaborate process of seducing young women from across rural Mexico. Many of them are from Mexico's indigenous population. They're very poor, they're naive, and a wealthy man will turn up and at a family celebration at a church, and he'll target the most attractive girl there and say, I can promise you a better life, you're beautiful, come to El Norte, the north, with me. And she thinks that he's in love with her. She sees the beautiful mansion. She thinks this can be really success for me and my family. And then she's smuggled here to Queens, and bang.
And this is four generations in Tenancingo. I would wonder that there wouldn't be a countervailing message that over time everybody sort of sees this pitch, and that young girls might learn at a certain point, we see this coming. And that there would be not a sustaining generational kind of passing of the torch here.
Well, the women are not all recruited from Tenancingo. In fact, far from it. They're recruited from across rural Mexico and even from Latin America. So the pimps are very savvy. They have widened their net over the years.
And here's how the pitch works.
They show them houses that most people here can't afford. So the women not only fall in love with them, but also see an opportunity of having a better life. But obviously, they can't imagine they will end up suffering sexual exploitation.
Now, tell me about Emilio Munoz, who's really on the sidelines in the sense that he's working for a charity that sees this tragedy all around him.
Emilio is such a brave man, let me tell you. Emilio actually had to leave Tenancingo when he got this job working for this charity, Fray Julian, in Tlaxcala province. And what he does is he tries to warn women locally about the dangers. He tells families, you know, if a man turns up with a smart car and says that he's going to take your daughter to El Norte and give her a better life, be suspicious. All is not what it seems. And he's really an extraordinarily brave individual who has had threatening phone calls but is not afraid to speak out against this trade.
We're talking with Laura Trevelyan, who's a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, who's just finished a reporting assignment that took her from Tenancingo in Mexico, where recruiters for the sex trade bring thousands of young women to places in the United States, particularly here in Queens, New York. Now, you spoke with victims, and we're going to hear from a victim named Alicia in just a moment. Tell me a little bit about her, and then let's hear her story.
Well, Alicia is a very slight young woman, very attractive, with a smile that lights up the room despite everything that she has endured. She's in her early 20s, and she was recruited just by the classic trafficker playbook. She was in Mexico City with her sister, and a man came up and said, you're so pretty, come with me, come to Tenancingo. And then she was essentially abducted and brought here to Queens, where the horror story begins, and she was then delivered like a pizza in a taxi.
And here she describes the work that she was doing.
Al principio fueron muchos, fueron como...
At first it was a lot, maybe 30 clients a night. My pimp was very violent towards me, almost to the point of killing me.
Hasta me mataba.
Now, did she, Alicia, make it out? How did you encounter her? At what stage was she in when you encountered her as a reporter?
Well, I encountered her via a non-profit here in New York, Sanctuary for Families. Alicia ran away from this brutal behavior. She was forced to have sex with, she reckons, 5,000 men over 18 months. And her pimp was actually so violent towards her, as she was describing there, that the other pimp said to him, "You need to calm down. You're leaving marks on her face and on her body. That's not what we do. It's going to damage her value." So even in the brutal world of the pimps, her pimp was just extraordinarily brutal. So I encountered Alicia because I was doing this story, and I said to everyone I met, without talking to someone who's endured this, it's impossible to bring it alive.
Well, it's horrific to even contemplate the idea that this is a trade that is self-regulated when you put too many marks on the prostitutes. What are the authorities doing to try to control the demand here, and who did you work with as a reporter to see what's being done in Queens to try to reduce the demand? Because, of course, ultimately it is the demand that drives this pitch from Tenancingo in Mexico.
That's right. And what they've done in Sweden, where they've very successfully combated sex trafficking, is they have arrested the Johns very aggressively. They've gone after the men who pay for sex. But also, there is a big case being prosecuted at the moment by the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, against a family from Tenancingo who've trafficked women here to New York. So there are penalties. The problem, of course, in Mexico is that corruption at the local level seems to allow these traffickers to flourish. But I went actually to something called John School in Brooklyn, which is where the Brooklyn DA's office is trying to educate men who pay for sex about the consequences for the women. And one of the things the men learn as an alternative to going to jail, they ought to go to John School, is they learn that the women may have been trafficked.
And here is the voice of Rosetta Menefin, who delivered one of these John School presentations.
"We're going out there picking up some broken female, and then she's using drugs or giving it to a pimp who's fighting for territories and gang is involved, and then you want to act like you're not part of the downfall of the community by your behavior."
So John's beware is the message, and here's what the Brooklyn DA's sex crimes unit, Ronnie Jow, says about the effectiveness of just this kind of presentation.
"And we've had a few cases where Johns have actually saved the prostitute. When she has told him that she was being trafficked, he has in fact brought her to the police. He didn't go in with her to the police, but he's dropped her off to save her."
And impact in the school where this presentation was delivered?
"I really, you know, didn't think it was such a big thing, you know, in the country. But now that I know at this point, you know, the only thing I could do is spread the word and prevent anybody else from getting into trouble."
What was your impression, Laura Trevelyan? I mean, you were there. You heard the message. You saw these characters, and then you saw the individuals, the Johns, getting educated here. Do you think this is a sustainable message?
Well, they're a pretty hardened bunch, as you can imagine, and a lot of them looked sullen and resentful about, and they didn't like Rosetta at all, the former prostitute, telling them what it is. But the younger men certainly seemed really shocked by the idea that these women were so young, maybe as young as 14, perhaps even as young as 12. And, you know, there is a debate about the effectiveness of John School. The Brooklyn DA's office says only 1% of the men who've gone through this program over the years have been rearrested for patronizing prostitutes. But then women's groups in the city will say to you, you know, it's women who are arrested for prostitution. Hardly any Johns are ever arrested.
Did this open your eyes as to the vulnerability of a young child, even here in New York?
It did. You know, as a mother, it horrified me that a girl who is vulnerable could be in a situation almost overnight. And we're talking about international trafficking here, but there is a big problem with American girls who are trafficked across the country and also sold for sex here in New York City. And in some ways, the very definition of a teenager is to be vulnerable.
Indeed.
And to be tearful and to be open to exploitation. And as Alicia said to me at the end of all of this, you know, don't believe everything a man says. Don't believe the pretty things that he will say.
A sad but crucial lesson. Laura Trevelyan, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, on sex trafficking that took place in Tenancingo, Mexico, and had impact here in Queens, New York. Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm.